The holographic universe of your mind. Whether you choose to believe it or not, whether you can comprehend it or not, there is one absolute scientific reality. You live and dwell within your imagination and your imagination alone. Electromagnetic waves transmitted to your brain via all of your senses are evaluated by your brain's existing platform of data, creating the multidimensional holographic world in which you live. Regardless of who you are, you do not live or exist in the outside world. You live in an imaginary world that exists inside of your mind. Any particular thing that you sense or judge is no more than your perception of an instance of its existence. Everyone lives and will continue to live indefinitely in his or her own created world. Your heaven and your hell are and will be as real as you consider your imaginary world to be real for you right now. Everything that exists in your world is there based on the values formed by the database of your brain. All that makes you happy or gives you sorrow are due to these values in your personal database. Now it's the time for renewal. It is time to discover the existence of our quantum potential, our cosmic electromagnetic awakening, and the multidimensional holographic existence created by our wave converter, commonly referred to as the brain. So let us put an end to all the nonsense about quantum cafes, quantum healing, quantum cakes, and wake up to the reality. But first, let us become cognizant of this. It is the time to completely reconstruct the teachings that have been imparted to us by Muhammad, the Quran, and all the saints and enlightened ones who communicated their message through signs, allegories, and metaphors. It is time to view these teachings in the light of all the scientific facts and resources available to us today. The most magnificent brain to have ever manifested on earth was the brain of Muhammad. He disclosed to humanity the absolute reality. Those who can comprehend this truth, who have acquired the ability to read, will know that the Quran is the voice of the Absolute. Hadrat Ali, the enlightened ones of late, and all mystics have attained awareness of the reality by reading the system and have explained the same universal truths, but through various symbols and examples that were available to them in their time. Given the fact that the universal truths have been delivered to us time and time again through the use of symbols and metaphors, we too can analyze the topic further by way of an analogy. Let's assume that a present-day modern man, a man that spends his day browsing the internet, communicating globally using internet telephony, aware of all that transpires across the globe in minutes through real-time news flow, was beamed back 1,000 years in time to a civilization that does not even have the use or knowledge of electricity. How would such a man explain the tools of our everyday life to those around him? How close to the truth would their perception be? How could they even begin to understand the actual reality of what is being described to them? As such, many enlightened individuals in the past have tried to communicate the universal truth to us through the use of symbols, metaphors, and examples of their time to awaken us to the realities that, even now, we haven't completely deciphered today. Some are able to interpret and grasp the true meaning and essence of these messages, and some, devoid of the capacity to comprehend such knowledge, take these examples literally and fail to understand them. In that case, the first thing that we must do is to abandon the nonsense that religion and science are two separate things and re-establish the religious truths using the language of science. The system that science attempts to decipher today is none other than the system read by religious individuals in the past and relayed through various metaphors and analogies. The reality, as described by Muhammad, the Quran, and all enlightened souls, is actually the very field of knowledge that science is trying to attain today. Precisely for this reason, in fact, religious metaphor should serve as a catalyst in scientific exploration rather than bringing mythological stories to mind. If, on the other hand, we devaluate the absolute and universal truth offered through religion by the postulations of apparent scientific developments void of the essence of religious teachings, we will forever suffer the consequences. So long as we fail to transform our understanding of religion, based on a God up in heaven somewhere, into the infinite, universal, and absolute truth of Allah, we will inevitably live the tragic disappointment of realizing the illusory nature of our assumed reality as it crumbles away before us. The only path to the absolute truth is to comprehend the reality of Allah as described by Muhammad. For he neither spoke of a God up there, nor did he suggest we look for him anywhere outside of ourselves. Muhammad is not the courier or the messenger of a God out there. These are outdated and primitive notions. He is Rasulullah, the locus of Allah's knowledge. If you want to explore the teachings of religion, you must do so by looking within the depths of yourself, your brain, the essence of your existence, and not by gazing up into space or observing the sky, the quantum potential, known in Sufism as the dimension of names, is the infinite potential from which infinite manifestations are birthed. Far from the conceptual world, it is the state in which all concepts such as time, place, form, and any kind of restriction or limit are rendered completely obsolete. The innumerous features and compositional qualities within this infinite potential are the designations of the various names of Allah. There are no localized manifestations of names here, only their potential. This is the state referred in Sufism as the observer who observes his knowledge, with his knowledge, in his knowledge. For Allah is Alim, the one who, with the quality of his knowledge, infinitely knows everything in every dimension with all its facets. And this is the dimension of his infinite knowledge. One meaning of the verse Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, that is, Hamd, which is observing and evaluating his universal perfection, belongs to the Rabb of the worlds, that is, the source of the infinite meanings of the names. The Rahman and Rahim, in the opening chapter of the Quran Al-Fatiha, is this reality. What the Sufis call the unity of witness, or Wahdat al-Shuhud, is also in reference to this dimension. One cannot speak of the expression, manifestation, or the materialization of this dimension. The dimension of cosmic electromagnetic expression has been created within and by the knowledge of the quantum potential. It is the second imaginary world and the derivation of all the other dimensions. Its essence is made of the light of illusion. It is an ocean of wave. All that can be or cannot be perceived are present as wavelengths in this dimension. The different brain types of different species are the compositional converters of this vast field of waves. The verse Maliki Yawmiddin, which means sovereign of the day of recompense, in the opening chapter Al-Fatiha of the Quran, is in reference to this truth. The unity of existence, Wahdat al-Wujud, of Sufism, pertains to this level of reality. The brains, the wave converters of existence. Every individual creates his own holographic world via this converter, and every individual resides within his own holographic world, all the while thinking he's living in an exterior physical dimension. It is this formation that is expounded in the verse Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in, which means you alone we serve and from you alone we seek help, from the chapter Al-Fatiha. The spirit, the totality and the point of all meaning. It is the core, the essence, and the spirit of each existence. It also refers to life, as each monad of existence is alive, where its life is its knowledge. Indeed, life and knowledge are inseparable attributes. The degree to which knowledge manifests is a reflection of the level of consciousness. The meaning and value of any animate being is reflected through its spirit. Based on this understanding, we may refer to it as the expression of the cosmic electromagnetic dimension, known in Sufism as the Grand Spirit, or Ruhul Azam, the first intellect, or Akhle Awwal, and the reality of Muhammad, Hakikati Muhammadiyya. Let's keep in mind that these terms do not refer to an object or a person, but to a particular archetypal reality. Allah. The quantum potential is like a point in respect to the one denoted by the name of Allah. One point amongst an infinite amount of others. One point of reflection from within His absolute knowledge. The disposition of one world, of one name, from amidst boundless worlds of names. The one who knows His names with and through His absolute essence, and observes His power on His names. The one who self-discloses and observes His reality by manifesting His unique attributes through His creation. The one who created the I and who claims I am through every manifested I, yet who at the same time is far beyond any perceiver or perceived. The one who cannot be contained within any form or perception with regard to this reality, we can only say, Allahu Akbar, Allah is great. In the light of all of this, let's now continue the topic on our universe and the brain. It is crucial for us to comprehend that our brain creates the multidimensional holographic world in which we live. But how can we think we exist in an exterior world if, in fact, we're living in the cocoon of our imagination? In the first place, what is this dream within a dream within a dreamlike holographic world, and how is it built and structured? And how does this interior world interact, if at all, with the exterior world? Each of us plays the role of the king or the queen in our own universe. Everyone else is either a figurant or an actor in our play. The roles we assign to the people in our lives depend on our perception of who they are, based on our pre-existing database of values. And so we laugh and we cry, we grieve and we rejoice with these imagined figures that we admit into our imagined world. As we stated above, the brain is a wave converter. It receives the infinite waves of spirit, or meaning, via the five senses and other channels, evaluates and interprets it according to its database, then makes a judgment about it, and projects his judgment to his imagination. Just like how a TV converts the waves it receives into the images we see on its screen. Hence, from a very young age, we continually construct and reconstruct the multidimensional universe in our brain, thinking all the while that we live in an outside world. It is scientifically evident that what we think we see, hear, smell, taste, and feel are actually various frequencies of waves that reach our brain and get converted into the specific wavelengths that we define as sight or smell, etc., hence forming the multidimensional holographic dimension in which the consciousness resides. In short, each of us live in our own uniquely imagined world and will continue to do so indefinitely. What we perceive and output as sight, based on the data we receive from people or objects around us, are no more than an instance of their existence. Similar to frames of images in a film, our assumed sight is actually based on the data we receive and convert according to our database of one still frame. Arranging these still images of various instances side by side, we compile albums and albums of photographs and spend our lives flipping through these images. Upon death, the brain will no longer receive incoming data, as it will be plugged out and disconnected from this dimension of waves. As we move on to our next plane of existence of afterlife, these albums we've compiled during our earthly lifetime will be the only provision we can take with us on our journey. Eventually, we will commence a new life on a new dimension and repeat the same process of data conversion using the signals received from the life forms of this dimension as input and our existing albums as database. The brain renders the most powerful instances as primary data and creates a kind of cache memory for quick future access. This is similar to how our computers recall a previously visited page from its cache memory. As such, every time we encounter a previously interpreted thing, whether it be a person, an object, or a situation, our brains automatically bring up the most prevalent memory of that thing. Immediately, we begin interpreting and judging and even experiencing certain emotions, all based on some information we stored in the past. This form of preconditioned evaluation is the biggest form of obstruction in one's development. Muhammad has cautioned us in this regard with his words, "If you haven't seen someone for a year, know that the person you see today is not the person you saw a year ago." It is for this reason that we must continuously clear our predetermined conditionings, delete our cache memory so that we can re-evaluate every situation according to the current input of data. The brain, although appearing to be a big chunk of flesh with its neuron-based infrastructure, is actually a mass of frequency that our current level of scientific knowledge cannot yet completely comprehend or decipher. In this respect, we refer to this intricate network of wave as the spirit and its essence as light or nur. Nur is knowledge, it is data, it is like an endless packet of meaning and it is immortal. This is why it is said that we shall taste death and not cease to exist. Let's remember that the person across from us is also living in his or her own cocoon world, or in other words, their individual multidimensional holographic universe. When our brain converts the data waves of instances relating to his physical existence, he takes his place in our holographic world and we think such and such person exists. But the fact is, we define his existence, his character, his role, and even his effect in our lives. This is why the great Sufi masters refer to this life as a dream and, in reference to it, said, "We come alone, we live alone, and we die alone." Some of us are confined in a cocoon, multidimensional holographic world, resembling a castle, while some of us live in slums. Some of us decorate our homes or our brains with precious collections, while others fill it with garbage. Some of us don't even have a home and are referred to as homeless or brainless in slang. Our holographic universe is the world that we are going to live in for eternity. How we interpret the instances of data waves we receive, who and what we admit into our world, and where we place them is either going to create our heaven or our hell. The instances of data waves that reach our minds will be evaluated and based either on the garbage that we have already brought into our homes or based on the new homes we construct with the guidance of the universal system, or Sunnatullah. The world, the intermediate realm, resurrection, heaven and hell are all experienced within and are all shaped by our personal interpretations and evaluations. Upon death, after the brain shuts down and ceases to function in its flesh form, a system reboot will occur and our life will continue to run with the backup of our astral wave brain. Thus, we see the importance of backing it up with solid and functional knowledge. Everything described in the Quran and by Muhammad is reality and will be lived. The important thing is to decipher the meaning of these verses correctly, without misconstruing them or taking them literally. For instance, Muhammad says that man will be resurrected, recreated from his coccyx or tailbone in the afterlife. To construe this as a physical resurrection of the body made of flesh and bone is nothing but ignorance. Clearly, this is a metaphor to suggest that a form of life will continue after death. Or, for example, he says, "The sun will come within a mile of the earth." This corresponds with today's scientific understanding that eventually the sun will engulf the earth and the earth will be vaporized. Muslims have even misunderstood the verse regarding the spirit. When Jewish scholars inquired about the spirit to Muhammad, a verse was revealed in answer to their query, telling them, "Little has been disclosed to you about the spirit." This verse is addressing the Jewish scholars, telling them that little or no knowledge regarding the spirit was given to the Jews. Indeed, there is a significant amount of information regarding the spirit in Islam, whereby Ghazali states, "One devoid of knowledge of the spirit cannot reach enlightenment." Our spirit is our very existence. It is our world. Muhammad says, "Your spirit is your body, and your body is your spirit. We are what we perceive." However, we also contain within us the potential of vicegerency, to which we have become ignorant. We have become unaware of this gateway that opens to the dimension of our cosmic electromagnetic expansion. If we shape and fill our world with the wealth that awaits us behind the gate of vicegerency, or the properties of the dimension of the names, then our worlds will transform into paradise, and eventually we will unite with Allah. The following verse refers to the purification of one's world, or one's perception. the purified and the refined have attained true success. Quran 87:14. We weave our cocoon world not only with the genetic information we inherit, but also with all the conditionings that we receive throughout our life. Our database is based completely on these preconditioned values, channeling and shaping our lives for better or for worse. In short, our lives are based solely on externality. We are never truly aware that our lives are spent within a cocoon that we weave ourselves and not in an outside world. Although we experience a sample of our cocoon-like existence each night when we go to sleep, we don't recognize or conceive it. In the state of sleeping, we're all alone, neither our partner, who may be lying right next to us, nor our children in the next room, nor anyone else are with us. When we experience death and move on to a non-material state of existence, all instantaneous impressions are left behind, including people and objects. We travel on alone in our journey, taking only our conditionings and perceptions with us. In the past, prophets, saints, and enlightened people have used symbolic and metaphoric language, due to the lack of scientific knowledge, to share the universal truths with people and to wake them up to the reality of their cocoon-like world. The goal is to cleanse our minds from predetermined judgments based on data waves of instances and to renovate our holographic worlds with substantial material in such a way that it becomes transformed from a slum house or a hoard house to a palace befitting a sultan. A sultan is one who lives in correspondence with the names of Allah, a vicegerent. One who can break out of his cocoon will be emancipated and promoted to the dimension of cosmic electromagnetic expansion as a friend of Allah, or Wali, where his world will be paradise-like. Muhammad says, "In paradise, each person will possess a whole world of their own. The smallest of these will be 10 times bigger than Earth, and they will be told, 'Wish what you may, for all your wishes will be granted.'" In other words, each person will be the sultan of his or her own world. As for those who have chosen to live in slums, that is, those who did not develop their brains but chose to fill it with garbage instead, will forever suffer its consequence. Either use your brain and research and evaluate the truth scientifically, or surrender to the path drawn out for you by Muhammad, for there is no other salvation.